The rest of us, we are going to be in Exodus chapter 34, picking up where we left off last time. Going to be reading verses 29 through 35, and we're going to read about glowing in God's presence. Now, it's not often that when I prepare a Bible study that I really get excited about the subject matter. I mean, I get excited about it, but there are some times where it's just like, wow, this is so cool. This is so needful. This is so right on. Now, I'm like that. I'm geeking out over the topic at hand, the scripture this morning. My delivery will probably be like going over well like a lead balloon. However, I am so excited about this. So let's tune in and get excited about what God's going to say to us this morning. Verse 29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. So again, we're talking about reading about glowing in God's presence. Glowing in God's presence. Now, many of you know that up at this point in our study of Exodus, in chapters 24 through 31, Moses had been up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights, neither ate nor drank. It was a miraculous fast. God miraculously did that for him. At that time, he received not only the two tablets that were carved out by God and the finger of God writing on the two tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, but Moses also received instructions for the tabernacle, that place where God's physical presence would be seen, where the priests would offer up the sacrifices, where sins could be atoned for. Well, that was chapters 24 through 31. Then we came to chapter 32, and while Moses is up on the mountain, guess what Aaron and the children of Israel were doing down in the camp? That's right. Aaron made them a golden calf and said, "This is the God that brought you out of Egypt." And then the people began to indulge in immorality and in idol worship. Well, God told Moses at that point, "You need to get down off this mountain and go deal with this problem harshly. Deal with it seriously." Moses came down. He had the two tablets, the Ten Commandments that God had carved out, that God had inscribed, and he threw them on the ground and he destroyed them, broke them into pieces. Why? Because the children of Israel had broken all of God's commandments in his sight. Well, then Moses ordered the execution of the offenders. 3,000 men died, and then God sent a plague among the children of Israel, and untold numbers died as well. God told Moses that he was ready to wipe out all the people and he would begin brand new with Moses, start with him and make him a new nation. But Moses interceded. And so eventually God relented. Now in that, what we see is the ministry of Jesus Christ. See, you and I, we deserve judgment, do we not? But Jesus bore our punishment on the cross and rose from the dead for our justification. Now he is at the right hand of God interceding for us. What Moses did in interceding for the people so that God would spare them, even so Jesus is interceding for you and me right now. So God did indeed spare Israel, but yet he wasn't happy with them. In chapter 33, God said, "You know what, Moses? I'm going to send my angel to lead you. I'm not going among you, because if I do, I'm going to consume you all in one moment. Well, the people heard that, and they grieved, and they repented, and they stripped off all those rebellious ornaments, their ungodly bling, and they left them all behind. Moses then further interceded for the people, and God eventually agreed to go with them. But you know, those first two tablets were broken. They were destroyed. So in chapter 33, God once again calls Moses back up onto Mount Sinai for another 40 days and nights of fasting and waiting on God in order to receive a replacement set of 10 commandments. During that time, we read last time how Moses asked God, "Please show me your glory." But God said in chapter 33, verse 20, but he said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And then in chapter 34, we read about how God then put Moses in a cleft in the rock and put his hand, somehow veiled Moses' face, covered his face, and passed by. And he took away that covering and allowed Moses to see God's passing afterglow, while also proclaiming to Moses God's glorious nature. In chapter 34, look there with me, in verses 6 through 8, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. This is, you know, Moses is saying, God, show me your glory. Here's how God reveals his glory that is of utmost importance to you and me. He didn't reveal his glory at this time by earthquakes and lightning and shinings and miracles and all. Those things are wonderful. But ultimately, those things don't get me into heaven. What gets me into heaven is the glory of God, as he reveals here. The Lord God, Yahweh El, God Almighty, the one and only, the all-becoming one. And notice, merciful and gracious. See, that's what's going to get me into heaven. That's his glory that gets me, that gets you into heaven, that he's merciful. We won't get what we deserve. And he's gracious. He's going to give us what we don't deserve. You and I, we don't have to do a religious thing to get into heaven. All we need to do is simply ask Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's risen from the dead, Romans 10:9 says, you are saved. Have you done that? Have you confessed Jesus as Lord? Have you said, Jesus, please be my Lord? Do you also believe he's risen from the dead? Do you believe that the Bible is true, that Jesus rose from the dead? If those two things are true for you, you're going to heaven. It has nothing to do with any religious works you've ever done. Heaven is a gift. Salvation is a gift. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. And so here we have the glory of God revealed to Moses, that which gets us into heaven. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering. You have to pause when you read that. Long-suffering. That means extremely patient. And abounding in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty. How's he able to forgive but then not clear the guilty? Through sacrifice, specifically the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head to the earth and worshiped. No doubt this event was life-changing. Even how he looked physically, he was changed. Which brings us to our text this morning. In verses 29 through 35, intimidating illumination. How's that for a fancy title? You are so welcome. Intimidating illumination. Verse 29. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain. As you remember from our previous study, God told Moses, okay, this time I want you to go carve out two new tablets and haul them up here, but I'll still write on them with my finger. The first time it was God carved them out, God wrote it down. But this time he required Moses to carve them out. and then God would write them down. So that's the second set now that Moses is bringing down off of Mount Sinai. So when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Moses didn't know that there was some physical change that had happened to him, but others sure saw it. They saw the dramatic change. And when it says that his skin shone, his face shone, it wasn't like that he had a really bad sunburn. No. What it's indicating here is that his face was glowing and radiating. That's an actual picture of Moses. No, it's not. But his face was radiating. The Hebrew word here for glowing is kauran, which literally means, get this, to shoot out horns. In Scripture, horns are symbolic of power, symbolic of authority. And if you're shooting out horns, you're manifesting power and authority. Moses' face was radiating powerfully. How so? How did this happen? Very simply, he had been in the presence of God. We'll see later on as the face began to fade, the glow began to fade, he'd go back into the presence of God, get recharged up again, as if his face was somehow connected to rechargeable batteries or something. He'd been in the presence of God. You know, it's easy to spot someone who has simply taken time to present themselves before God. Somebody who has been in the presence of God, they might not realize it, but oh, they're changed. And others can certainly see it. And for those who see it, it can be very convicting for them because they're seeing something in them that they're not seeing in themselves. And that can be very convicting. You can see the glow in others and it convicts you about the glow that's not in you. And that's what happened here in verse 30. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shot out horns, shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Why were they afraid? Some might say, well, it was just because it was different. And people don't like different. People are afraid of different. That may be true. But sometimes we look at things that are different, not necessarily with fear, but more as a curiosity. Like, any of you ever gone to a carnival and they have the sideshows? You know, the dog-faced man or the witch doctor or the bearded lady or whatnot? Not that we're terrified of those things, but they're certainly a curious. Oh, that's weird. That's freaky. I'm going to go pay a few bucks to see some fake thing and, you know, because I'm curious. So I don't know that their fear of Moses was simply because of him being different. I think it was more because they realized that the reason he was shining was because he had been in God's presence. And they had associated God's presence with fear and judgment. If you're quick on the draw in your Bible, you want to keep your finger there where you are, a bookmark, turn back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, verse 16, came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. The sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled, fearful about the presence of God. See that? They were fearful being in the presence of God. Now look at chapter 20, verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the smoking mountain. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, hey, do not fear. For God has come to test you that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. And so Israel had associated God's presence with judgment, fear, and trembling. And the last time Moses had come down from Mount Sinai with a couple of tablets in his hand, a lot of people died. Look at that in chapter 32, verse 25. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, this is the first time he came down, Aaron had not restrained them to their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." All the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put a sword on his side and go in and out of the entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor." So if you find somebody sinning with a golden calf, involved in immorality, the sexual immorality, and I'll kill him right there and then. Verse 28, so the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. And also we read that a plague of God went forth, killing untold thousands. Now here in chapter 34, Moses is once again coming down from Mount Sinai with a new set of 10 commandments. Last time he did that, a lot of people died. And this time there was a difference. Moses' face was glowing, or as I like to call him, Radioactive Moses. Be a great name for a Christian band, wouldn't it? Radioactive Moses. No wonder the people feared greatly. Verse 31. Then Moses called to them. I mean, the people are terrified. They're like, ah, and they run off. Moses like, hey, wait, come here. No one's going to die this time. Come here. He called to them, Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil, a COVID veil, on his face. Not because, he didn't do that because the people were afraid to see the glow. We'll read later on that wasn't the purpose of the veil. But he did so because the glow was beginning to fade. It was getting less bright. Which is actually a visual lesson for us about the glory of the law. What were in Moses' hands? Somebody tell me, the Ten Commandments. Moses is the embodiment of the very law of God. In James we read, if you can keep the whole law yet stumble at one point, you're guilty of all. Okay? How many times do we read in the Bible where Moses absolutely blew it before God? Once. Now, no doubt he did some other things that were highly questionable, but there was one time that God said, oh, you blew it. And what happened to Moses? He was forbidden to enter into the promised land. So he's the embodiment of the law. You keep the whole law and yet you blow it once, you're guilty of all. That's why the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So if you or anybody you know is trying to get to heaven based on their own good works or their religious activities, if they've blown it once, they're guilty of all. Now, the law itself is glorious. It is God's righteous standard. But as we go through life, that glory of the law becomes for us a condemning source of judgment. And Romans 7, verse 10, the commandment, Paul says, which was to bring life, I thought, keep the commandments and go to heaven. The commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. So the glory of the law fades due to my sin. And those who assume that they're headed to heaven because they keep the Ten Commandments are ultimately trusting in a glory that is fading. A glory that is fading. Verse 24. So Moses had that veil over his face, but whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, be like plugging into God's power source, he would take the veil off until he came out. And you'd be recharged, shooting out horns, the glory from his face. He would come out and speak to the children of Israel whenever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him, to speak with God. Here the point is that each time he went into God's presence, he was re-energized. But even his shiny face, coming down from 40 days and 40 nights being with God, with the Ten Commandments in his hand, and all the mighty miracles that God wrought through Moses, all of those things, add them all up, and it's a glory, but it's a glory that fades. And here's the point, brothers and sisters, it is a glory that pales in comparison, that the glory is available to you and me. What Moses experienced, what Israel experienced, it was glorious. But did you know that it's nothing compared to what we get to experience? 2 Corinthians, it comes conveniently after 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, that's funny. Why you're laughing, not laughing, I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. But the ministry of death, that's what the law is. It's a ministry of death. The soul who sins shall surely die. What the law does is it condemns us. It shows us that it's a mirror. Mirrors don't make you clean. It just reveals what needs to be clean. The ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious. So that, it was so glorious that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance. Which glory was passing away, fading glory. So if that's true, how much will the ministry of the Spirit be not more glorious? So if that was glorious and it was according to the law, even more so is the glory of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. For if the ministry of condemnation, the law, had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. The ministry of righteousness is the fact that God, the Holy Spirit, came to dwell in you the moment you asked Jesus to be your Savior and Lord. That is the never fading glory, eternal glory of the Holy Spirit in your life. The ministry of righteousness, you are righteous because God the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. For even what was made glorious, that Old Testament stuff, had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. It was a glorious thing, but you compare it with the glory of the New Testament, the glory of the new covenant that we have through faith in Jesus, there's no comparison. For if what is passing away was glorious, as manifested by the fading glory of Moses' face, what remains is much more glorious. Again, trying to be righteous by keeping the Ten Commandments is futile. It's like trying to find your way in the dark with a flashlight that has no batteries. It's not going to work. But those who turn from dead works, now you can hear the thunderous emphasis. This is important. You better listen right now because God's, okay, the moment's passing, but here we go. Those who turn from dead works, I mean, you admit, okay, I can't save myself. And you turn to faith in Jesus, and then you seek for the infilling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you are going to glow with an unfading glory, which is a promise that God gives to all who believe in him. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit. Remember how earlier we were talking about the glory, the ministry of the Spirit? In verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the ministry of the Spirit is more glorious. The ministry of the Spirit is more glorious than the ministry of the law. Because the ministry of the law fades away, the ministry of the Spirit endures forever. With me so far? Okay. The manifestation of the Spirit. The shooting out of the horns, the glory of the face, the fruit of the Spirit, which is, somebody say love, and the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural endowments, the showing forth of these things, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This is the everlasting glory of the new covenant. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. As we, in John chapter 14, Jesus talked about abide in me, and if my words abide in you, you will bear fruit. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is, somebody say love again. Love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That love results as we abide in Jesus Christ. It doesn't grow on its own. If you take a stick off of a fruit-bearing tree or a fruit-bearing vine and you leave the stick by itself, it's going to wither and die. But if that stick remains attached to the vine, attached to the source, then eventually it's going to bear fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you see a crabby, cranky, angry, bitter, judgmental Christian, don't judge him. But let me let you in on a secret. They're not abiding in Christ. Because if they're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit, then they're not abiding in Christ. Not that we would judge them. Just saying, though. But the manifestation of the Spirit is not only love through the fruit of the Spirit by abiding in Christ, but it's also the gifts of the Spirit that are given to a person who is baptized with the Holy Spirit. Have you been baptized with water? Water baptism won't save you, but it is an outward sign of the fact that you've already been saved. It's a testimony to God and to the church and to the world that you've given your life to Jesus. If you haven't been water baptized and want to do so, let me know. We will go ahead and get the tub in, fill it up, and we'll go ahead and take care of that very soon. But have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? That's a different baptism. There are some people that don't even know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yet, there in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, we're told the manifestation, the outward showing of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I remember years ago, there was a new family that moved into the neighborhood, and we met them, and they were asking about our church, and they went to a type of church, and they said, well, what's different about Calvary Chapel? I said, well, I think one of the main differences is not only are we teaching through all the scriptures, but we believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. But unlike some that seem to be out of control with the gifts of the Spirit, we believe that they need to be operated according to the dictates of Scripture. For example, the gift of tongues. The Bible clearly says how tongues is to be operated. Let there be two or at most three, each in turn, and only if there be an interpreter. But if there's no interpreter, then let him who speaks in tongues keep silent in the church. It's very clear how it's to be operated. Well, that couple looked at me like I had a third eye, and the lady went, I have no idea what you're saying. And yet they've been going to church for years. And it just dawned on me how sad it is that the Bible from cover to cover is not being taught. Therefore, there are topics that pastors are not teaching because they're afraid of them. They're nervous. They're afraid that people might be oh, tongues. Oh, don't you talk in tongues. Oh, because I'll be like the wicked witch of the West that melts in your presence if you do that. People are terrified. And what a shame. What a shame. And it's a shame that more people in the body of Christ aren't taking God up on his offer to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. To want the things that God wants for us. You see, we become all aglow when we come into the presence of God and we seek Him for the power that He gives to all who freely ask. Moses was aglow because he had been in the presence of God. Remember how last time we read how once Moses came down the first time, he moved his tent way outside the camp. Called it the tent of meeting. Anybody and everybody was invited to go out. At the tent of meeting, that's where the presence of God was seen in the glory cloud. Moses went there. Joshua went there. But we read how when he went out, the people stood in their own tent doors and worshiped God from there. That wasn't good. Why did they not go out to where the presence of God was? Because they were content to stay in their own tent. They didn't want it. They wouldn't go. How sad. How sad that they missed out on so much. They could have had much more. Maybe they would have begun glowing had they gone out and been in God's presence like Moses and maybe like Joshua. But they didn't go. Too busy staying at home. Binge watching something on Netflix. Doing 50 other million different things. Other than gathering together to seek God and to be in His presence. I want to make it very clear, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Heaven is a gift, not of works lest anyone should boast. But reward in heaven and glowing for God now, that is work. Good works. Hard work. See, remember how it went for Moses. He had to cut 2 new tablets himself and then haul those things up on the mountain and spend another 40 days and 40 nights with God. He also had to do so early and also removing all distractions. Make sure nobody is around, not even animals. Don't be petting your kitty while you're alone with God. In chapter 34, verse 3, we read God telling Moses, "No man shall come up with you." You're going to be alone with God. "And let no man be seen throughout all the mountain, neither let flocks nor herds feed before that mountain." So he cut 2 tablets of stones like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the 2 tablets of stone. As a result, 40 days later, he came down glowing. He came down glowing. Oh yeah, it was a fading glory because he's the picture of the law. But still, the same way Moses became aglow is the same way we become aglow. Simply put, getting alone in his presence early and often. It's that simple. I want us in our mind's eye to picture a huge, beautiful mansion. And the title of the mansion is the Kingdom of Heaven. Okay? I want you to notice in your mind's eye, and close your eyes if you want, you can keep them on, I don't care. Notice though that that mansion only has one door. There's only one entrance. And that door is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the doorway of salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." There's only one way into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And it's by grace. All we do is we simply come to him and he receives us. There are many who have entered the door of salvation, but for some reason, they just lay down right there in the entrance. They're in. They're saved. But they go no further. They're right there in the threshold. They say, "I'm forgiven. I'm saved. I'm headed for heaven. I have my fire insurance. Not going to hell. And I am content to just lay down here in the doorway of God's kingdom. Leave me alone. Don't bother me about spiritual things, spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, about the deeper things of God. Don't bother me about the fact that this kingdom, this mansion is filled with rooms, filled with treasure that are there for the discovery. I got other things I want to do. They're missing out. Bless their hearts. They're missing out. But then there are those who really do want to know the deeper things of God, who make the effort. As you folks are here this morning, you're making an effort. You could have stayed home. You could have even gone to the YouTube channel, and I know some that have to, and that's great. But you've made the effort. You've made the effort. And if you're watching, you've made the effort. You're in the process of making that effort. Remember in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that He, our Lord, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Salvation's a gift. Reward, that comes through diligent seeking. May it never be that any of us are like that lady that I was when I was talking to the gifts of the Spirit. It's like, whoo, I don't know what that means. The Word of God has everything that we need to know about these things. And better than that, God wants to give us gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we too can become aglow. Don't just lay down, but enter in. Enter in. These are the ones who know that the kingdom of heaven isn't just for the by and by, but it's for the right here and now. God's kingdom right here, right now. His rule over our hearts and lives right here, right now, until He comes. And those who really want to enter in, they realize they got to lay aside the things that don't matter in order to attain the things that do. A lot of things that don't matter, and the world is seeking after them. Not us. We lay those things aside in order to attain what God has for us. Paul said it this way to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 12, not that I've already attained. We're all a work in progress, are we not? Or am already perfected, but I press on. This is the attitude I want to have. This is the attitude I'd like for the entire Calvary Chapel church family to have. I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of me. Has Jesus saved your soul? Great. But for what purpose? Just heaven? Or is there more? Oh, there's more, brother and sister. There is so much more, but we'll never attain it until we get up and enter in. Like how Moses did. And remember, his glory was fading. Ours is forever. The process of how God created radiation Moses was, Moses got up early in the cool of the day before it got hot. So, when you first wake up, start praying. Before you crawl out of bed, say, Lord, thank you that you got me through another night. And here's another day. I need your grace. I need your help today. Would you please fill me with your Spirit and help me to live for you today? Before you get out of bed, I'll even say a radical thing. Before you even have your first cup of coffee, start praying. Now, if you can have the coffee maker going while you're doing that, all the better. So start praying before the day heats up. Secondly, Moses climbed up the mountain to get away from all distractions. Have a place that's all yours, where you can be alone, where you can really, really be alone with God. Thirdly, Moses brought with him two blank tablets upon which God would write his law. I would suggest when you go to prayer, have a blank tablet and a pen. Is God going to speak to you when you pray? Absolutely. Is it worth writing down and looking at later on? Absolutely. So maybe have a blank tablet or something you can write something down upon. You know, We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. So as you bring a blank tablet and a pen, make sure your heart is a blank tablet, ready for God himself to write upon. Moses was up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, being in God's presence. My takeaway is, don't rush my alone time with God. Now, if you and I can't spend a literal 40 days and 40 nights without any breaks, then how about for the next 40 days? Going to issue a 40-day challenge here today. For the next 40 days, make sure that you spend at least a little bit of time with God each day. So we're going to call this, you ready? You ready for this? The next 40 days, this is what we're starting today, July 12th. We're going to call this, you ready? 40 days to righteous radiation. That's what we're going to call this time. Much more clever in my mind than you thought. May we never, ever be content with just entering in and laying down. Let's enter in. Let's linger long. Let's seek out and search diligently. Let's be in God's presence early and often. And as a result, our Lord will cause us to be on fire for him, and others are going to see it. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for the exhortation that you've given to us this morning. We know, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, are speaking to us. You're ministering to us. Lord, I just have the sense that there are maybe some here today who feel like they've been missing out, that they just don't understand, they haven't gotten it. And Lord, they don't even know what to ask for. Lord, that's fine, as long as we're willing to then ask. Even if it's, Lord, I don't know what I need, but I know you know what I need. Would you please give it to me? And Lord, for those that are maybe Lord, they see themselves as laying down in the doorway and they haven't bothered to get up and go in. Lord, maybe you're speaking to them this morning. Lord, are we glowing? Are others seeing it? Lord, the answer to that is simple. Abide in Christ. Be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Ask and you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Lord, I know you're challenging us. 40 days to radiation righteousness. That's a challenge that you've laid before us this morning. I pray we would take you up on it. Lord, while the world is saying, don't go to church, don't sing, don't be the church. Lord, this is a time to really get serious about our faith. To really seek you for that power that you promised to give to all who would ask. So this morning, if you sense the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, somehow, some way, whether it be through words I've said or just something God is impressing upon your heart, and maybe you don't even know exactly what to ask for, but you want to ask, then what I'd like you to do while we're all praying, if God is speaking to your heart, would you stand up right now? Just as a sign to God that, yes, that's me. I feel I'm missing out, and I don't want to miss out anymore. Would you stand up right now? Go ahead. Stand up wherever you are. There's one. There's another. Anybody else? All right. Father, we know that we're to be contented people. We're not to be covetous, except in one way. You said, earnestly desire, covet the best gifts. And then you went on to explain to us the more excellent way, the way of love. So, Lord, you do want us to desire the deeper things of God. You want us to enter in. You want us, Lord, to seek. Ask, you said, and we would receive. Seek, and we would find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to us. Lord, there's so many different rooms in the kingdom of heaven, even here on this earth, rooms that if we would just ask, seek, and knock, they would be open to us, and we would discover more of your manifold grace. Lord, we know it has really nothing to do with earthly jewels and gems and treasures, but it has everything to do with spiritual things. Lord, you have so much for us, and you're just waiting for us to enter in. And so, Lord, we who are standing, we're saying now, okay, Lord, I'm ready to enter in. I'm ready to take the next step of making sure that every day I'm going to be alone with you. And as a result, I'm going to glow. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.